Hello and welcome to Radio Disclosure. Today's guests are Emmy Award-winning science reporter Linda Moulton Howe with her Earth Files report for this week, along with Jackie Marie, renowned psychic. I'm sure you've heard of Jackie before. And if you've explored any of the newspaper columns or the television shows that she's been on, you're going to really enjoy this show. And this is kind of an in-depth look at her and what she does. The lady's got some amazing abilities. We'll be back with both of our guests right here on Radio Disclosure right after this. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Trans World Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. Transworldantennas.com.
It operates 20 through 10 meters. It's stealth. It will keep up with any three-element beam and any vertical that you have on your property. But if you can't have a three-element beam or a vertical on your property, you can still have a TW2010. It is stealth. It disappears. We tried to take pictures of it, and we had to move the thing around because it hides so well. There is no compromise in performance with this antenna, and it's portable. You can take it with you on vacation. It's quite unique. They make several flavors of this antenna, however. If you want to operate 80, 40, 60, 30-meter band, it's all there. Go to their website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com, and check out the special pricing right now.
Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month. And several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on Radio Disclosure, Emmy Award-winning reporter Linda Moulton Howe with her Earth Files report on Radio Disclosure this week.
1 year ago, on June 7th, 2008, I received an email from a man who retired from an astrophysics career and is now a semi-retired technology consultant for electronic and electro-optics industries living in Timber Lake, North Carolina. Mike Reed worked at the University of Arizona in Tucson on the Multi-Mirror Telescope at Mount Hopkins. That's a joint venture with the Harvard-Smithsonian Observatory. He had been studying an aerial photograph of the June 1, 2008, crop formation in barley at Barbary Castle, Wiltshire, England, and he emailed me a discovery. His email was dated June 5, 2008. Hello, Earth Files. On looking at the Barbary Castle pattern, the ratio of the angles of the radial jumps is apparently the first 10 digits of the mathematical constant pi to 3.14159265.4. The definition of pi is the ratio of the circumference of a circle to the diameter. Mike Reed concluded his email with, quote, "The fact that the pi decimal point is included and there is rounding up to 10 decimal places is to me a little mind-boggling," close quote. An Australian scientist who requests anonymity contacted Mike Reed about the pi discovery, and the two men continued a collaboration in analyses of other 2008 crop formation patterns. When the spring 2009 crop patterns in England started April 14th at the Ridgeway near Avebury, the scientists proposed that the pattern was a megalithic sundial that was followed soon after at the West Kennet Longborough, also near Avebury, by what might be a solar eclipse counter based on Mayan glyphs and symbols. Then came a large and precisely defined sunburst at Rutland's Farm, also near Avebury. The sun seemed to be the theme, and on April 24th came a pattern the scientists interpreted as three monthly phase cycles of the Earth's moon. When that lunar cycle information was combined with the next oilseed rape pattern at Peaks Down near Swindon, perhaps about solar flares and the apogee and perigee of a full moon, the scientists ask, quote, "What will happen on the sun July 7th, 2009? Close quote. And a countdown began. Would there be an outstanding solar event on that date? I think it is stunning that the most intense sunspot activity in nearly 3 years of an abnormally quiet sun occurred between July 5th and 6th, right up to July 7th. There was a solar physics meeting in Boulder, Colorado in mid-June, and the hot topic was, why is the sun so quiet, and when will it come back alive? Then sunspot 1024 erupted suddenly on July 5th, each spot the size of the Earth, 8,000 miles in diameter. Perhaps the spring 2009 oilseed rape crop formations were a test to see who would pay attention. Now we need a Rosetta Stone for the June 30th Milk Hill alien symbols, the June 27th Southfield electrical grids, and beyond. On July 7th, I interviewed physicist Mike Reed about his perspective of the sudden, huge, and intense sunspot 1024 forming within 48 hours of July 7th, 2009.
It's interesting that the original timing came from Morgan Hill, I think it was.
Right.
And that pointed to the 7th, which was the partial eclipse of the moon. So there was an astronomical event that was going to occur on that date. We associated that with the sun, and it certainly looked pretty valid in a lot of those cases.
And it is so close. The drama of going from a quiet sun to intensity that is being described at spaceweather.com as the single most intense sunspot eruption in over 2 years, and that it is so close to July 7th, it is as if something was making us pay attention to the sun at exactly the time that it suddenly went into intensity again.
That's true. That certainly is valid. I think the interpretation of a lot of the symbols in terms of a major event that was going to affect the Earth. Maybe we got overly enthusiastic. And when you look at a situation in April where you've got a completely quiet sun and there's no indication that anything is going to happen, nobody knew. remember you interviewing several solar scientists. Their point was, hey, we have absolutely no idea when the thing's going to wake up again. So then to have the crop circles pointing towards the fact that there should be solar activity certainly is significant. The fact that the July 7th date came up and that something was going to happen, well, something did happen. It wasn't as maybe spectacular as we had thought, perhaps, but certainly from the point of view of a very active solar area, that certainly did occur. That 1024 particularly is an extremely active area. And you can see the magnetic loops in it, very strong. And when you watch the hourly movie of it, it's incredibly active.
Right.
So certainly in that sense, the overall timing, the overall predictive situation, I think, is valid. One of the other issues may be that the fact that it has now become active, if you took away the focus on July the 7th and looked back over the last few months, there have been quite a few things that seem to relate to the sun, and they were interpreted in terms of a potential event on July the 7th. If you simply said they're an event that could occur on the sun as part of this cycle, then perhaps what it's saying is this is going to be a whopper in the sense that it's going to be a very strong solar cycle. And I think there are some physicists that feel that's the case just based on the physics of previous solar sunspot cycles, that we're due for a fairly major cycle this time. And certainly, if the formations become more and more intense and we do get more intense solar storms, there will be repercussions in terms of potential power outages and some of the effects that these things can have, breakdown in communications and things like that. So certainly as we go forward, if this turns out to be an extremely active period going towards 2013, it's going to be more and more important.
And out of April to July 7th, 2009, it might be argued that this is the beginning of a language communication, that finally there is a breakthrough through you who have started trying to look at the embedded math and astronomical data in crop formations. And now we may stand at a crossroads where going forward, you all are beginning to see and understand things that were never seen before, and that it may become extremely valuable as we move forward toward the next solar max to be able to have at least this kind of dialogue.
Yes, and I think one of the things that comes out of the last couple of months is the introduction of these strange symbol fields, which have never been seen before. I mean, they've seen a lot of individual symbols and so on, but nothing like these strings of symbols. Frankly, they look sort of gibberish, but at this point, all that means is we just don't understand anything about what they're doing. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they are repeated. If that form of formation continues, the more it does, the better the chances of finding a Rosetta Stone embedded somewhere where some characters get repeated or some structures become familiar and may well be capable of being decoded in some intelligent fashion. There are certain symbols that have been showing up. One of them is the decreasing rectangular spiral, which has shown up different times.
In Milk Hill.
Right. Yeah, and it's repeated several times. And it's also something that shows up. I think it's the day symbol in the Mayan glyphs, symbol of the day. And also, there definitely are symbols that are equivalent to the Mayan number system. 11, 13, and 1 showed up several times. So it's certainly interesting that you're getting some things like that. The rest of it is totally incomprehensible at this point.
Charles Mallett confirmed each of those five strings was 700 feet long, and it made the entire formation more than 1,100 feet.
You don't do that overnight.
No.
Particularly when it's raining.
On Tuesday, June 30th, 2009, Charles Mallett, who manages the Silent Circle Research Center in Compton Bassett, Wiltshire, England, learned that a third stage of strange symbols had been added to the Milk Hill summer solstice pattern. That afternoon, he walked the long five strings of alien symbols, estimating each line to be at least 700 feet long. All the symbols were, quote, precise and clean, and each line was no more than 3 to 4 feet from the next line. There was no mud on any of the symbols that I examined, even though it had rained off and on all night long of June 29th to 30th. Close quote. Could you address what you saw in terms of the symbols themselves? As I understand, they look pristine and perfect.
Yeah, regarding the Milk Hill one, yeah, they are pristine and perfect. Most people that went there and looked at it really liked it. And as you can tell from the photography, it's very well defined, very sharp, perfect in practically all ways. But scratching around along the edges of the peripheral areas, there's constant and regular crushing on the plant.
Okay, how in the world would any human beings in the dark between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. put down five lines 700 feet long?
I don't know.
I don't think it's possible.
I couldn't do that, and I don't know anybody that could do that. I could not do it. I don't know. But the physical damage on the plants in the afternoon of the first day, and, you know, this is the afternoon of the first day in the summer, lots of people had been there, and it is possible that it could have been tampered with, I guess, whether anybody likes it or not, it was there. It could be trashed by somebody on purpose. It could be possibly made by people. I don't know. I don't know how they could do it, but for all I know, that kind of damage could occur in some kind of paranormally generated delivery system, because we don't have a complete and full understanding of the energetic source behind the genuine phenomena. It's hard to know what the actual damage is, but to my logical human mind, the kind of damage I would see along the peripheries is consistent with people's damage.
Do you know what the weather was like?
Yeah, it definitely did rain through the later part of the night, and reasonably heavily as well, enough to make it muddy.
That makes Milk Hill even more extraordinary. 700 feet of five lines of pristine symbols on a rainy night?
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mean, that was my first question. In fact, a friend of mine went there before me. And I said, you know, when you get there, have a look and have a real good look for mud, because it should be covered in mud if it's faked, because it had rained that night, but it wasn't muddy.
Right. Well, I think that the 500-700-foot strings of extraordinary symbols that were pristine and not muddy has to stand as phenomenal in the true sense of the word phenomenal.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I kind of stood in there, looked at it and started walking down it, and it just goes on and on, and there's like miles of this stuff. It's pretty phenomenal that that can occur overnight.
Physicist Mike Reed also agrees that anything over 1,000 feet long with five lines 700 feet long of what look like alien symbols is pretty phenomenal. Here now, Mike Reed continues. If you were speculating about the intelligence behind Milk Hill and Southfield and the spring oilseed rape formations, what would you speculate might be the reasons for why they have worked so hard to focus attention on the sun and astronomical cycles?
If this is going to be an extremely strong solar cycle, then I would expect to see these things showing up again and again. I'd also expect, if in fact this kind of communication is going on, that there would be these character strings being repeated with new information in them, which we don't understand, but there may be some ability to start to see what's going on in them. And having that refer in some way to the solar cycle, it seems that most of what has gone on so far this year was related to the sun. But in terms of the implication that pay attention to the sun, I think, is perhaps the bottom line. It's very much like you're looking at the hieroglyphics, and without the Rosetta Stone, you're kind of sunk. The way they're repeated and so on means they actually have meaning.
Right, and you sort of are the breakthrough when it comes to pi in 2008. That is a breakthrough that says there is high intelligence embedding information in these crop formations.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because just to think up this stuff, Right. I know there's some good graphic designers around, but just, you know, day after day to be coming up with these things.
The crop formations between April 14th and about mid-June of 2009 in the oilseed rape, specifically, could not have been made by humans.
Right. And I think that's the smoking gun in the sense that it's an impossible thing to do by manual means. And those are the ones that specifically pointed directly to solar activity in terms of images that obviously look like an angry, active sun.
We are perhaps for the very first time beginning to relate to crop formations as an alien language, in quotes, and that what we need is a Rosetta Stone to accelerate the understanding, and that the summer of 2009 might yet bring us that Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, if those are the only times that kind of symbology is used, well, then it's kind of an anomaly. But if we get other formations where those kinds of character strings or symbolic strings are repeated, then that's going to get very interesting, because then hopefully one can start to look for repeated characters and so on and see if we can't make some sense out of them.
And come up with a common language between whatever the intelligence is behind these extraordinary crop formations and us humans.
Yeah, the graphic part sometimes is fairly straightforward, but those symbols are just, frankly, they're bizarre. It's hard to imagine the mind that created them. Symbol strings, when they're as long and big as they are and done overnight and on rainy nights and so on, it stretches the imagination, and being done very well, very crisply. You know, it's just hard for, I think, people to take something that's so foreign seriously. It's like, well, your head just doesn't want to accept it, and so you dismiss it. The problem is, it happened. Certainly, there seems to be a solar theme. There certainly was in the beginning, and that seems to have been followed up. Whether we got it right in terms of the detail, or whether, I think in the broad strokes, yeah, we did get the idea that there was going to be solar activity from a quiet sun, and it happened.
And it happened within 72 hours of July 7th.
Yeah. And now the question is, going forward, what happens? Do we see more of these character strings? Do we get an opportunity to look at more of them and try to understand them? Do we see more concern about the sun? Are there other astronomical events that are depicted as a way of communicating in a non-threatening way? But the focus on the sun and the potential for serious activity as we go forward is certainly something that's going to be interesting to see if there's a follow-up. Relative to solar activity, if it becomes extremely strong, there could be significant damage to the highly industrialized countries, because we're so dependent on communication.
And satellites.
Satellites, power grid. If you look at what happens on a high-voltage system where you've got a three-wire system in three phases, and you've got this triangular structure with three wires connecting these things at either end, and then the center where the three coils, the windings of the transformer, where they're joined together in the center, that becomes the ground line, and that gets actually physically referenced to the local ground where that transformer is. Well, if you produce enough energy coming into the atmosphere and start producing potential differences on the surface of the Earth, that energy can go through the ground line and then run down all three of the transmission wires together. And that's not an AC current. It's a very large, massive DC current. And once you saturate the core of a transformer by putting a large DC current through it, that it stops acting as a transformer. The DC current alone can be enough to melt wires. And you can damage the transformer to the point where it put out of commission. And the big transformers, the 700,000 volt units and the 360,000 volt transformers, these things aren't nickel and dimes. They're very expensive, and they don't stock them on the shelf.
So if they get melted, it would take a long time to restore electricity to, let's say, a large city.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why the space weather thing is so important in terms of giving the grids time to disconnect or do whatever they have to do to prevent operating during one of these major events. and the satellites, the issue of communications going down, potential damage to GPS satellites, intense radiation. There's lots of things that I'm sure are important enough that as we go forward, if there's this focus on the sun and potential strength of solar emissions, then it is kind of like somebody's trying to warn us about the potential risk associated with it. If it turns out to be so strong that there's nothing you can do and the satellites go down and so forth, then you're going to lose a lot of communications capability. And GPS, I mean, if GPS is damaged and the satellites were all fried, that's a major in terms of our ability to fly airplanes, navigate, etc.
And we could be dealing with an intelligence in the unseen that wants us to understand its language so that it could warn.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. That's why I think it is hard for your mind to just sit there and say, this is real, in the sense that you're looking at something that looks very alien, very kind of bizarre, but it's happening, and it's happening so big that it can't be a hoax or faked by people running around with boards and string.
If you like hearing the Earth Files report on Radio Disclosure, be sure and drop Linda Moulton Howe an email. She wants to hear from you. Her email address is earthfiles@earthfiles.com. That's just simply earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Be sure and drop her an email and let her know you're listening to her Earth Files report on Radio Disclosure. That's earthfiles@earthfiles.com. In addition, Linda's website is just simply earthfiles.com. That's earthfiles.com. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. Transworldantennas.com. Are you needing a place to put up a website? Have you looked around? Do you want to do something that's easy, that's simple, and very, very inexpensive, but yet looks professional? Are you having troubles with your computer? Do you need some tech support help? Are you tired of being connected to India every time you pick up the telephone to get some help on a machine or on a website? The people to call is tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. T-U-X, like tuxedo, dash support, the word support, .com. These are the people to call. They can get you going. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. You can afford to work with these folks. They're professionals. They answer in plain English, and they can help you do things from a very, very basic, simple standpoint. If you have something that you want to do that's a complex project, well, they can handle that as well. But if you're like I am, when you're trying to put something up on the web or you need help with a computer, you really want somebody that speaks English. And you want it to be simple, and you don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And you want to deal with some good folks. Go to their website,
tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Jackie Marie and Alan Richard. Our guests today are Jackie Marie and also Alan Richard. And I want to say hello, and how are you folks doing today?
Really good. Happy to be on board with you, Ted.
And we're still married. And we're both psychic.
Both of you are psychic. I didn't know.
See, that's what I wanted to shock you with. You know, this is shock news radio, right?
There you go.
Well, yes, you know, psychics can marry each other.
Now that poses some real interesting questions in itself. But by the same token, when you all of a sudden get a hunch about something, you got somebody that you can run it past.
Yeah, and he also knows he better be good or I'll get him.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I sent my youngest son to karate school when we were all young. We were very, very young. And he came home and taught me. So I'm out there, you know. I'm going to tell it like it is. And I always tell people, if you don't like my apples, don't shake my tree.
Okay, there you go. Well, let's take a little look at your backgrounds here. And that way folks get a chance to know who you are and how you, I don't want to say how you became a psychic. I guess I would say how you realized, you know, that you had these abilities. Because I happen to believe that I believe you can develop some of these abilities, but I think sometimes I think people are just born with it. Some folks have it, some folks don't. I mean, you know, I think that's just life. You know,
actually, you're right. You're right. The thing is that you are born with it. Everybody is born with it. There's not a person on this sphere or planet or star, whatever you want to call us, that doesn't have psychic ability. Most people, it becomes such an integral part of them, they don't see it as unique. But most people have had a hunch, a dream, a thought that came from out of nowhere, or whatever. The difference is you can't develop what you don't have.
Well, you know, I guess the other thing, too, is, you know, the person, and I would say I wouldn't feel bad if I don't have any psychic ability at all, because a person that has no psychic ability, maybe at that point they've got the ability to play the piano. Maybe they've got the ability to be a great salesperson, or they've got the ability to do other things, if you follow what I'm saying. They're just blessed in a different area. And
well, such a protege that can play a concerto at the age of 2. Where did they learn it? They didn't. They were born with it. In other words, it's called PLM. Get familiar with that, because you'll probably, down the road, have people like me talking with you again. And what that is past life memory.
Well, now,
you know what I'm saying? You don't know what you have until you search it out and find out, hey, I was born with this.
Well, now, I guess what I'm going to ask you is when you're talking about hypnotherapy. Now, there's folks that I've talked to that feel like, you know, they have these weird feelings, like you know, and some of these folks are like that that are UFO abductees. They have memories of things that, but they're only half there. The memory is there, but they can't remember all of it. It's all fuzzy, you know. There's other folks I know that have memories of their childhood, and we've talked about this, and they say, you know, during this period of time, it's just all a blur. I wish I could sort all that out, or I wish I could figure that out. Is that something that can be done through hypnotherapy? I mean, is the memories actually still there, or is it fuzzy because it's just not there? I mean, there's a difference. Like television, you know, you got a television. If the signal isn't there, the picture's fuzzy, but there's not much you can do about it until you either raise the antenna way up. You know, but if there's nothing on that frequency, you're not going to get a picture. So I mean, how does that work?
Jackie's put it in an interesting way. A long time ago, she coined the expression, memories never lose their emotion. By implication, it's a memory. It is there. It just doesn't go away. And when you think about it or it comes back at you, the emotional part is very much intact, like it's happening all over again.
Well, that other thing that we discussed very recently, Alan, over breakfast in our bedroom, we have two chairs and a table. We have hot coffee, and we talk about all these things that we get. But the memory is there. It's like a computer. You can have somebody stuff it all into the computer. If you don't have the right password, you're not going to get it out.
Well, yeah, That's the way the mind is.
It shelves it. It stores it. It puts it in these little boxes or cubicles, or whatever you want to call it, within the mind. And, you know, I hear people say, use your brains. Well, your brain is nothing more than a computer. Your brain doesn't do any thinking. Your mind does the thinking. And that's what science is trying to encapsulate. Science is trying to say, we're going to get into the mind of that person, and we're going to be able to tell what that person is thinking and doing at all times of the day and night. And they can't do it.
Well, you know, I
really and truly cannot do it.
I guess the thing I was going to say is that when it comes to the I guess what they were called the subconscious mind.
Huh?
You know, I think, you know, psychologists have used this subconscious mind thing to explain a lot of stuff that takes place inside the brain or the mind that's kind of anomalous in nature that they don't quite understand. And but we know that this realm exists inside your head that you're not totally conscious of, that just comes out every once in a while. All of a sudden, wham! It's there. You know,
it has to. And believe it or not, everybody has a pet cock. You know what a pet cock is on the furnace? That's just before it blows up. You know, it hits the pet cock, and there goes the steam. We all have that. We have to empty. We are like a compact-o-matic. Take in all this stuff we see and hear and feel and suffer every day of our life. And if we didn't empty it once in a while, we'd blow. It'd go goofy. That's why people go goofy. They have no way out. They have no place to put their expression. People shut them up. Look at what they do to little babies. Don't touch this. Don't do that. Don't say this. Don't say that. They keep cramming it in. The kid is never able to express. They grow up to be criminals, killers, murder their families. I work on murders and missing persons with the police all the time. And you'd be surprised how many of these so-called killers are actually the victims also. Because they never had a chance to put anything anywhere. So they just kept storing it up. And actually, that's what anger is, you know. Anger is unspoken frustration.
I didn't know what it was. I know what it feels like.
It is the enemy, that's for sure.
No, it is definitely the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The enemy within.
We've got a little bit of a narrative on you here, and I just wanted to kind of run over this real quick. Folks that are listening, you know, I want to do a little background, and that is that it says here that you're an author, columnist, motivational speaker, and corporate intuitive, willing and able to do the unthinkable in today's market, forecast a year ahead for business.
Right.
That, I've heard people say, boy, if we just had a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate using that term. I don't know. To me, psychic and fortune teller, I mean, to me, those are just...
Well, I am not a fortune teller. I do not use tarot cards, Ouija boards. The police come and get me a lot to debunk psychics. who are, I call pilfering people. What they have is what I call a canned speech or a preparation where they tell every third person the same thing.
That's interesting. So, yeah. I never thought that. To be a fly on the wall, huh? You know?
Right. Well, you see, a tarot card is a pre-written thing. You know, the Two of Cups means this, and the different cards are all written out. The person memorizes that as much as they can, and then they tell somebody that my psychic impression is this. Well, if it's already written, what's psychic about it? Psychic means it came from out of the mist. It came from something within the person, not what somebody else wrote. That's the same thing with prayer. The Our Father, the Hail Mary, and all this beautiful prayer. It's wonderful for people to have to hold on to. But it came from the pen or pencil of somebody else. When you talk with God, you got to talk from your heart. You got to say, hey, buddy, I can't take this no more. And God will listen. Is God going to listen to the Our Father? I mean, he's heard it so many times from so many different people. And what does it really mean, you know? So I turn around and I put the Our Father in the first person. And then people, you know, when I do seminars, they sit there and they're in perfect awe. They say, I really felt close to God for the first time in saying the prayer the way you said it. And instead of saying Our Father, I say my Father. You know, give me this day my daily bread. Lead me not into temptation. You know, that's the type of thing that I do. I can dissemble things and then put them back together again for people. And they said they never really felt close to God until they tried the prayer in that way that I told them in that particular seminar.
Well, you know,
looks like we're having a problem with the phones here, too.
Well, it just sounds like you got a busy office there.
Sometimes we do. You'd be surprised. They call me morning, noon, and night, especially the ones that want to commit suicide. They'll say, I've had it. I can't take it. I'm going to commit suicide. And I will say something like, can you wait until tomorrow and we'll have more time. I can talk to you direct. We'll work this thing out. And they always call the next day.
It's not a trick question
or anything. They're really looking for help.
Yeah.
They're looking for a garbage can, if you will, somebody to dump their garbage on. And then I'll tell them, okay, you go right ahead. If you want to commit suicide, you do that. But you will end up in gray space. And when you get in gray space, it isn't worth living. You're never punished, but there's no color in that world. Everything is gray. Oh, you've got buildings and you've got plants and everything that we have here, only it's gray space. I got that from people who committed suicide as a type of a medium that I am. I wrote that book, Ghost Talk, so people could cross over in their own minds, in their own way, and build a bridge to someone they love or whatever. But that bridge then bridges back to them so the ghost can come and visit them.
Well, you know, I guess I was going to ask the question about, and I don't want to jump too far off where you were going with the hypnotherapy, but by the same token, that is an ever-present question in the minds of folks that are that have loved ones that have passed on or friends that have passed on. I guess the thing that I did want to talk about a little bit first, and that was, what is your stand? Okay, you talk about Christianity, and you say you are a Christian, and I accept that.
Yeah.
How do you, when we're talking with folks on the other side, how do we explain the passage in the Bible where the witch at Endor brings up Saul from the dead? Or was it Samuel she brings up? I'm trying to remember. Saul went before her, and she brought up Samuel's spirit, you know. And the places there where it kind of talks about, it says something to the effect of consorting with the dead and all this kind of stuff, that it's an abomination to God and all this type of thing. So how does this fit in? Because I know I have got conservative, evangelical Christians that are listening that are saying,
sure.
Oh, I don't know about this, you know. And I'll tell you my take first, and then you can tell me what you think. My take is that I think that when a person, I think that... I believe we're surrounded. I just like in the one, there's one part of scripture that says that the person's eyes were opened, and when they were open, they were just amazed at the thousands that were surrounding them at the time. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're surrounded at all times, and I believe that there's help given to us. I really think there's an active thing going on all the time where you've got people who have passed on, whose role at this point actually is to assist. You know, to be part right. of God's plan. You know, and I think that we sometimes we don't hear them because our own head talks too loud, you know. But I like
that expression.
Okay, but I think I think there's also the wrong side of it, and the wrong side of it is, you know, when you don't use any common sense at all, and then all of a sudden at the last minute you want to go consort with a witch. You know, and I'm sorry, I got a problem with that, okay? And I understand that. But now that's my take. What is your take on the witch at Endor and the explanation given in the Bible that you shouldn't be consorting with, what is it called, familiar spirits, I believe this term is.
Are you sitting down?
Now, you ought to know that already, but go ahead. Well, I'm just kidding.
I mean glue your what to the seat, okay? Because
right.
this is going to rock your boat. First and foremost, the Bible was written by man. Okay? And that man wanted to control his universe. That man wanted to control people. Kind of like what we've got going right now. You know, we're working toward a dictatorship. All right. The whole idea is man wrote it so he could keep that control. He wanted to scare the wits out of people, introducing something like original sin. You know, like there's a God up there salivating, hoping you're going to mess up so he can punish you. God does not punish anyone. Now, the reason I know a lot of what I know is I am one of those NDE people. They call it near-death experience. Did you ever hear of it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They tell me I was dead 7 minutes. According to the medical, they say if you're dead more than 5 minutes or so, your mind becomes mush, you know, like a vegetable. Well, I don't consider myself having a mush for a brain anymore or a mind. But either way, that is why they put in that stuff about witches and this and that and the other thing. They created this taboo. They created it. Jesus the Christ was a seer. If you look in your Bible, it's mentioned many times. Seer, S-E-E-R. Today, that same word means psychic, clairvoyant. It means people who can prophesy. And even in your Bible, in the later days, man and woman shall prophesy in the name of God. All right, prophecy means it hasn't happened yet.
So it's, you know, it's
a problem.
It's insight.
The problem is in the interpretation. It's in the training that some people get. They want to believe in God, and yet they will go to somebody, I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, some of the priests that got in trouble because of their human need, I'll put it that way, that there was nothing wrong with that person. It is not normal for a man to be deprived of his sexual outlet. Now, they're going to be really PO'd about that when they hear this. But it's true. It's not normal. And when they take normalcy out of life, they get all kinds of problems.
Well, see, that's another thing. And let me say this, and I've gotten into a discussion with friends here just recently, and that is one of the problems with the tradition part of the church and the tradition part of Christianity as a whole. And I happen to believe. I mean, and you say you're a Bible scholar. Well, I've got a background in it too.
I tried to be.
I had 3.5 years of Bible college, and I dropped out and went into radio. You know,
uh-huh.
I realized I was a sinner, and there was nothing I could do about it. Anyways, but the thing is, I believe the central theme of the Bible is clear. I mean, I really do. I believe. I mean, there's no. To me, it leaves no room for doubt. The central theme is clear. The problem is you can interpret things a million different ways, and if that were not the
Absolutely.
Case, we wouldn't have a million different denominations all claiming they're right. So we've got to say there's room for interpretation. So I guess, and I also think, I mean, I've seen things in the Bible that were apparent contradictions, and I think that you have to just come to the conclusion, like anyone with any common sense, that anything where man is involved in it is not going to be infallible. There's going to be flaws, and I think that's where wisdom comes in. You have to be able to have a little bit of wisdom in your interpretation and the input that comes in as you're reading and studying to understand that it isn't going to be letter perfect, folks, okay? And but the central theme is there. And I think that's, I mean, that's my opinion, and, you know, you can, that, and like I said, 50 cents still won't buy coffee.
Well, you know, Ted, there was a guy, and his name, well, I have made contact with a lot of people that wouldn't dream of coming back to this earth because of the terrible treatment they had, even though they did things, wonderful things, like Albert Einstein, like Nikola Tesla, like Khalil Gibran, people of that status, that Jonas Salk, they wouldn't dream of coming back here. They were scoffed at. They were told that they were in bed with the devil because nobody could have that kind of knowledge except satanic people. And, you know, if you spell Satan backwards, it's Natas, N-A-T-A-S, and there's a whole organization of these people. They're trying to wipe out God everywhere and anywhere. And these people, the really smart people, even George Pullman, you know, he had the sleeper car, and different people like that who tried their darndest to do good for the people, and they turned on them. People always turn on the one that feeds them the most. You know, they bite the hand that feeds them. I think you've heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes right down to it, you only have this particular time on earth to do what you have to do. And one day, God's going to turn around and say, Ted, what did you do with the life I gave you? And you're going to have to answer to God, not to a priest, not to a rabbi, not to a Buddhist, not to a monk. There's only one God. You know, I don't care what you call your faith, it's different. There is a difference, Ted, between the business of religion and the belief in God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been told to go into your closet and pray. He didn't say go to church. I think it's great that we have churches. I think it's a wonderful thing, because without churches, we'd have a bunch of barbarians running around.
Okay.
So, you know,
I say we have a church on every corner, and we still have a bunch of barbarians running around. But go ahead.
And we also have a bunch of taverns all around, and a bunch of drunks.
Got a church on every corner, got a tavern on every corner, and we got a bank on almost every corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it means something.
I think so.
Thoreau said something very interesting. He said there are 1,000 religions, but only one God.
Yes.
And that was very provocative.
Well, see, here the thing is Alan was going to be a priest. He was in the seminary. I was going to be a nun. Okay. But the idea is sometimes we're told by the very God that we're trying to please, okay, to do something like leave and do it another way. Do what you want to do, but find another way.
Well,
I guess
kind of opened my eyes. I read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill long ago.
Okay.
And you know, so I had some pretty traditional background, and I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden he comes to the first thing he does. He goes into a dissertation, and I forget who it is in the book. One of the characters, you know, and of course these are all real people. These are not fictitious characters. And he talks about the person going in the room with a pencil or pen and paper and turning the light out and sitting for ideas. And then when the idea hits them, he turns the light on and he writes the idea down. Okay. And, you know, to me, I mean, I was thinking, I mean, that kind of hit me. I thought, boy, that sounds a little hokey pokey, you know, but it makes perfect sense, because as you turn that light out, you're shutting yourself out from all of the, you know, the self-talk that goes on inside your head and all that other kind of thing. And you're kind of opening yourself up, and every idea that's ever come into being here on this planet has had its birth somewhere in a synergy between the current living person and, I think, people who have died and gone on before. Call it the universe, call, you know, some of the stuff that comes actually from the wisdom of God himself, you know. Who knows what we're touching when we get into a situation like that. But new ideas have to be born somewhere. Well, anyways, later on in the book, he talks about having these board meetings. Have y'all ever read Think and Grow Rich at all?
I've heard of it, but no, I didn't read it.
Okay.
We've heard some, literally heard some of the CDs or cassettes, I don't remember which, of Napoleon Hill.
Well, anyways.
So we're a little familiar with it.
He talks about sitting around a big table, and he invites all these people to be a part of his board, I guess I want to say. And they're people like, and these are people that are dead. I mean, he's got Thomas Edison there. He's got Abraham Lincoln there. And he holds these meetings, and he poses questions to these people, and they give him answers. And he says, as time goes on, they all develop their own particular characteristics and traits, like Lincoln usually strolls into the meeting late, okay? And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. What is this? What is this, you know? And as time has gone on, and after reading Napoleon Hill, and that book has become a staple over a period of time, Think and Grow Rich. And it's about Andrew Carnegie, the big steel fella, you know, that was in the steel industry. And, you know, when you go back to that book and you think about it, it told everything there in that book fits. Everything fits, and every bit of it is just common sense. And I can see where so many really successful people have gathered so much from that book. And a lot of it, once again, you know, you would think that it had been written by a seer. You know, because there's
Well, I got news for you. He was a seer.
Okay.
A lot of them have that ability, but they would never dream of letting on what it was really happening with them.
Well, how much do...
Wait just a second.
Okay, go ahead.
One of my books that I wrote, it was called I Tell It Like It Is. It started happening to me. I didn't know exactly what was happening. But I had, you know, four children to raise on my own. It's really a bummer life I had. And I was working two jobs all the time. I would go home, and I would be so tired getting everything done for the next day. And I would sit at my dining room table, and I thought I fell asleep. And in the morning, there were papers written. All kinds of stuff was written. In a prose poetic fashion, which I was never a poet, okay? And actually, that book got published. But the idea there was that it happened. Something was writing through me. It wasn't me. It wasn't even my language. I would never put words together the way it came to me. And, by the way, Alan's an English major from Marquette University in Milwaukee. And thank God I have him, because he corrects all my terrible written language problems. But anyway, I was able to not only have this book written as somebody writing through me, but it made sense. But right now what's happening, I have in my book, published in the 70s, by the way, and what's happening to us right now, where he says, you got what you wanted, man. World governed by man. You've all become puppets to Satan's plan. And that people were crying out but weren't making a sound. That type of thing that was coming. I didn't even think that way. I was just too busy changing diapers and taking care of kids and trying to work two jobs.
Ted, I can add that that was the very first book that she published, and we're in the process of republishing it. It's been out of print for quite some time.
Well, you
know, and if I may give out the website, we're going to be making it available as downloadable as well as a hardcover. It's called thedailypsychic.com. Thedailypsychic.com. You find out all about us and things that are coming up. And as we're adding books and tapes and MP3s in there that we have, you can find out about it there. Just wanted to mention that part.
Okay.
But some people call that automatic writing, by the way. That's the correct name for what started out that way. And I'm telling you, I was one scared cookie. I swore, you know, I was going crazy, something. How could I write a book and not remember writing it?
I was going to say when you talk, Alan, talk just a little louder because you're not quite getting over the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not quite. Oh. Yeah, you're a little bit too relaxed today. Get a little bit up on the edge. You see?
Sit up.
Where are the phone books? I'm going to sit up a little higher.
Okay. What I was going to say is, what we plan on doing, folks, is we are going to have Jackie Marie and Alan back. Now, we won't do it next week. We're going to do it the week after. But what we want you to do is send us an email with a question. That's something we haven't gotten into yet. But one of the things that that Jackie does is she can give you some insight. You got a question? Send the question on. And you can just go to radiodisclosure.com. That slot that's there that says contact us, just put your email right in there. Radiodisclosure.com. And what we'll do, it won't be next week, but the following week, we'll be back on the air, and we'll have Jackie Marie along with Alan Richard with us, and we'll just go over those questions, and we'll just see how many questions there are out there. And if you have someone that is in your family that passed, or a friend that passed, and you felt this presence around you, or you think they're trying to tell you something, you know, send the question along. And let's see, because there are folks that are able to tune in a little bit finer, and they can hear the things that maybe that you're missing or you can't hear. And I think that's a case a lot of the time. Now, the website, once again, Alan was talking about the website, and the website is thedailypsychic.com, thedailypsychic.com. So you want to go up to that website. And I'm sure there's a place up there where you can send email and you can look at. Are there other books or anything else available up there?
Yes, there are actually quite a few books. We're going through quite a, I don't want to say recycling, but upgrading of the material that we've got. There's in effect, there's about a total of 30 books and about 30 tapes that we're putting into digital mode, and we're working feverishly to get this all done. Maybe over a period of time we might be able to elaborate on the different things that are available, but I would like to say, for those that want to email us, one particular question that may come up might be nice to include. It might be nice for them to include their birthday, but we only need the month and day, Ted. If they want to put the year in, that's okay, but the most important part is the month and day, because Jackie has defined numerology. In effect, she married numerology with astrology. The secret
to make
self,
sense out of it.
Yeah, the secret self is found or determined by the number in the birth date. Am I coming in better now, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Faded again on me there. Okay.
Yeah, what is your birthday, Ted?
Just month and day.
727.
Okay.
727 is the sign of Leo, but you know that, right?
I've had a lot of people give me horoscopes.
All right, Leo happens to be the showman, but the number 27 in your birthday picks up the sign of Pisces. So let's say that Leo is the type of car you have. The driver is Pisces in your case. Now, Leo is the Alpha, Pisces is the Omega, the beginning and the end. So anything that can happen, good, bad, or indifferent, more than likely will happen to you. You will be in and out of things. You're going to try this, you're going to try that, until you find your real niche. Okay? Now, when we go forward in time, numerology can predict the future. Astrology cannot. Otherwise, all Leos would be hookers. And Scorpios, too. Okay. Or cab drivers or truck drivers, you know, we like to travel. But the whole idea there is that when you find your secret self, and I have segmented my book, Numastrology, Your Secret Self Revealed, Now we've taken the segments out so that each one, each number, there's only nine, because any number reduced to a single digit can only come up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And you can just get my secret self-revealed and buy only one, you. It involves your angel. By the way, your angel is Sashiel. Your color for meditation is pink. Your numbers, 9, 18, and 27, they'll always mean things to you because they all reduce to the single digit 9. Okay, 36, that's a 9, isn't it? 45 is a 9, isn't it? 54, and we go on and on and on. Your number will always be 9.
Interesting.
And not only that, but you will always probably end up with sore feet or sore legs or sore hips. But from the waist down, you can go to heck in a handbasket if you don't do some walking, swimming, or something to keep your limbs moving.
Well, I was going to say...
How do you like that? That was quick, wasn't it?
That was pretty good. So now, folks, when you want to send in, when you send in a question, send in your, you send the month and date of your birth date. And that will give Jackie the opportunity to tell you all about the month and the birthday. Now, how does it get, I guess I want to say, for all the people that were born 727, is this going to be the same? I mean, do they have the same thing? Or how does it get down to an individual?
I love that part. Yes, you're right. The psychic ability takes into consideration the person that they're dealing with. I could have 100 of you like I did at Carlos and Charlie's in California, where Joan Rivers preceded me, and then I went on after her. And I called people from the audience. I said, I'm going to prove a point to you. I said, all Scorpios, get up here on the stage. And they did. And I said, okay, are you all married to the same kind of person? No. You're all doing the same job? No. Are they dressing alike? No. Do they like the same food? No. And it went on and on and on. I said, you see, you're individual. Now, if you want a psychic impression for you, this is what I feel for you, the person living within that environment of your upbringing, your parents, your schooling, everything, the you that's living in that environment. I'll give you your particular situation and what you're going into. Such as you yourself, now, Ted, you are going to remodel, redecorate, or move.
I'm going to do what now?
Remodel, redecorate, or move.
Okay.
And that could be anything from an office environment to your home. But there is something that has to be done, or you're going to simply go nuts looking at the same thing day after day after day.
It's worth mentioning that her psychic impressions are usually looking ahead 6 to 12 months.
Right.
That's just a rule of thumb. Now, things can happen sooner. In fact, they can even take longer. But generally speaking...
A little bit longer, yeah.
So just keep that in mind for yourself and for those that email us in, with any questions, which we'd be happy to, take care of.
And you're going to work very well with the initial R. It could be Raymond, Richard, Robert, last name R. Somebody R is going to be very deeply involved either in your success or trying to help you to get to that point where you will accept success when you see it.
Well, listen.
Because unfortunately, Ted, sometimes you don't always recognize success for what it is.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'm all ears. I'm listening here. But let me ask you a question. In regards to the way you get impressions? Like, for example, you told me that my angel's name is. Let me see here. I made a note.
Sashiel.
Okay. So how do you determine that? Is that part of the?
That's just part of the numerology. We have 9 major angels that help to run the people that come under what they call the birthday angel. We have different angels for different things. Now, my angel happens to be Michael, the archangel, and Michael just helps to take care of people in his tribe, you might call it.
So, in other words,
on the 1st, 10th, 19th, or 28th of any month. That would be Michael. And each number reduces to a single digit. 2, 11, 20, 29, all reduced to a 2. That's Gabriel. 3, 12, 21, and 30. Sashiel. And it goes on and on and on. And I put that in my book, by the way, the full book, the real book, Numastrology, Your Secret Self-Revealed. I have their biorhythm in there. I've got their angel in there. Indian astrology is in there. Everything you need to know is in there, including a page full of lines where you can make your own notes about yourself, what you learned, you know, that was more impressive than anything else, any one thing.
What you're thinking of, yeah. Ed, was that the Sashiel also has influence over 9, 18, and
that's
27.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you thought of that already, but that's how that all breaks down. That's how she was given the information.
Well, I write a column for something called the Penny Saver newspaper. I've been with them for years.
I've seen...
It was called The Marketer.
Okay.
And all these things have been in there, a weekly column. In fact, in the dailypsychic.com, I publish a week ahead, not a month, a week ahead for everybody.
Psychic predictions
for the signs. In other words, the signs aren't predicting, I am.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's it. That's very, very interesting. Well, now, let me ask you this question. How do you see the situation with the folks that claim to have been abducted by UFOs? How does that, I mean?
I personally believe them.
Okay.
I do. I believe them because I've done enough work with people on the in the avenue, I would say, of having been either abducted directly or have had dreams that they've been abducted. And using hypnotherapy, I have been able to find out from them. Now, oddly enough, Alan and I do not put thoughts in people's heads when it comes to hypnosis and things like that where it's been said, oh, well, the hypnotist is leading them. No, we turn on a tape, and that tape proves that we are not leading them. They're telling us what's coming out of their minds and memories. As Alan told you already, memories never lose their emotion. So a lot of times in the memory, they are going to appear very frightened, not because of what the so-called aliens did to them, but because they've been schooled, they've been taught to fear aliens.
How common is this? I mean, in the
very
the reason
very
why,
common.
So, in other words, it's a lot more widespread maybe than what people would realize in terms of folks having some sort of an encounter mm-hmm. with. If you do regression on them, they get into a description of something that's rather it's not from this world. In other words, it's
that's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But try to explain Genesis 6 to me then. In Genesis 6, and God looked down upon the earth and saw that men and women were fair and sent his sons, plural, and daughters, plural, to cohabit with the sons and daughters of earth. It's right in your Bible about the interplanetary connection. And God is the God of the universe.
Well, of course, there's also the story of the Nephilim. You know, it talks about that they saw the daughters of men and took unto themselves wives, and they begat children. And the word children
right.
is in italics because the translators didn't quite know what to do with whatever word that was.
Or so they say.
Anyhow.
You see, again, that was mm-hmm. done by man, Ted. That was done by man.
So,
when a man doesn't know what to do, he'll put things in italics, he'll put things in parentheses, he'll underscore, he'll bold it. God only knows how they're trying to express themselves. But they have to express themselves.
Yeah, well, you see, all of this is so multifaceted, and you're the perfect person to talk to, because we have to reckon with, I mean, at least I feel we do, we have to reckon with these folks that say, you know, I was flooded out of my bedroom last night, you know, and I was taken aboard this craft, and they put needles in me, and they did all these horrible things, and, you know, and some of them remember just bits and pieces of this, and it disturbs them, and they go through their life, you know, with this all in the back of their head, you know. And the unfortunate thing is, like, for example, now the Christian church, they don't know what to do with this. I mean, you go in and talk to a priest, you go in and talk to a pastor of a church, you know, and, you know, he's like, they didn't cover that in seminary, okay? So,
okay, Ted, have them explain to you then, I say to anybody that goes through that, have them explain the Holy Ghost and the Immaculate Conception.
Well, then you know, you also have. I mean, as far as the
hello, Ted.
Yeah, as far as the church being lost. Well, my mind just jumped to something here. As far as the church and religion being lost, you have the same situation, except maybe the Catholic Church is a little bit more attuned to this. But when people, you know, are awakened in the middle of the night with something physically pounding on a wall,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they go down to their local evangelical church, and I won't name a brand, I could, and they say, we can't get any sleep, there's something pounding on our walls at night. And I'll be honest with you, I know this firsthand. Most pastors, you know, they're looking for the back door of their office, you know.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
That's right, because they cannot explain it. Like I said, have them explain the Holy Ghost. All right, but here's the problem. The difference in my book, Ghost Talk, I explain the difference between the good ghost, or the white angels and the dark angels, the good ghost and the poltergeist. A poltergeist can hurt you. A poltergeist has to do, it's a whole other subject, but they're there to dissuade you. They're trying to keep you away from God and godly things. They're there to keep you away from the angels. And is an angel a ghost? No. It's a separate species. Okay? So it's in the book. The only way that I can explain to people that everything that's going on in this world right now, you have been taught. You've been taught to fear walking down the dark street with black people walking too. You're taught to be afraid of them. You're taught to hate certain things. Kids don't come into this world with that unless it's PLM, past life memory. You know, if they were hurt before, they'll be afraid again.
Like I said,
for the most part, we're taught to be afraid.
There's folks that have fears that are totally illogical. You know, I'm sure you've run into this. I mean, there are people that will have a fear of an elevator, but they'll have a fear of a checkbook. They'll have a fear, I don't want to balance my checkbook. I'm scared to death to balance my checkbook. You know, you've got someone else that's afraid when they go outside. As soon as they leave the house, they walk outside, they see daylight, they're afraid. Some folks are afraid of water. You know, and some of these fears are not connected to a childhood memory because nothing traumatic happened, you know, I mean, to
That's
them.
That's right.
You know, so.
Now you got it.
So, I mean,
You're right there with us. Right now, you're right there with us. You have jumped into another frequency. Now, you don't understand that you're in radio. I, too, have been in radio an awful long time. And Ellen, too. We've had radio shows all across the world and on the Internet. We do have Internet show. It's called Blog Talk Radio. It's on the first Wednesday of every month, where anything that can happen, I don't care what it is you think you've experienced, it's called Beyond Logic. That's the name of our first Wednesday of every month. And Beyond Logic, you'd be surprised the things we hear. We had a guy send us pictures of a Sasquatch that he took the picture himself. He said, here's something else that doesn't exist. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
People are getting tired of being told what they can believe, what they can eat, what they should eat. Yeah, eat what you want. Just, you know, curb it once in a while. Do what you want to do. Life isn't meant to be a punishment. God doesn't punish people. People punish people. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. You can always go back to the thing that if you find something in the Bible you can't explain, it was because it was written by a man. Okay, now I don't totally
That's
buy,
right.
but I don't buy that completely. I really don't, because I think there's illustrations in there that have been given to us, and I think some of the stuff that's in there is kind of in a locked up form. In other words, it's there, but I don't think there's really a definition for it. I don't think we can actually understand it at this particular vantage point in time. As time goes on, it'll become clearer, you know, and I think then too, as time goes on, you're going to be able to identify man's role in putting that book together. You're going to say, well, you know, we found out that wasn't exactly the way it was, if you follow what I'm saying, but time goes on.
Do you really believe, Ted, that a loving God would deliberately seek to confuse and condemn people? That doesn't really cut it. It says it's trying to tell you that God is, like I said before, sitting up there waiting for you to mess up so he can punish you. Because that's what it would come down to.
I do not believe that there is a God in heaven, though, that that wants to rationalize wrong.
Of course not.
Okay, now, and I get that from a lot of folks. In other words, right and wrong becomes pretty blurred. You know, there's no longer a line, and it's just like I've said before when I'm talking to folks and they say, well, it doesn't matter. They could kill their grandmother, and they turn around and say, well, that's just good business. You remember, we're talking about business here. Don't take this personal, but this is just good business. I'm a businessman, and this is, you know, and I hear this kind of reasoning, and I guess that's where I think the line between right and wrong is a clear, defined line in most cases. And I don't like to put God in a position where I feel like, you know, he can justify the wrong side of things, you know, by passively sitting there. And I think he gets mad. I do. I think he has emotions just like we do. And I think he gets angry. And I think when he's angry for a good cause. I think when he's angry, there's innocent people being hurt by someone else. But however, we do have situations where, you know, we're a free will. We've been created with free will. We can think and do on our own as we please. I don't know how, I personally don't know how far divine intervention goes, because we have people that have found their place in history, like Adolf Hitler. And if I were God, I would have certainly taken a whack at him, you know, but
I did take a whack at him,
you know, so I'm just saying,
God,
you know,
did take a whack at him. Oh yeah, God did do that.
No, I would not have let him kill so many innocent Jews. I would have never allowed that. But then again,
right.
You know, the thing with it is,
but
I'm not God, and it's
let him. God gave him free will, and God doesn't go against his own teachings, his own format, or whatever you want to call it that we all live by. You know, no, he did not do that. God said we all have choices. And that is why people get so darn mad at everything, is because they made the wrong choices, but they don't want to take responsibility for making the wrong choices.
That's very true. I'm going to ask you a question on the other side of the fence. We talked a little bit about ghosts and whatnot, and I don't want to stay to the dark side. I don't want to go to the dark side, stay there for a long time, because I just don't think it's just not good. But
No. What
about demons? What about demons, and what about, as you were talking about, poltergeists? You know, these things that, mm-hmm. the aggravating, rapping spirits, demonic forces, things like possession and all those kind of things. Have you dealt with any of that side of the coin at all?
Yes, I have. And mostly it's been with people who are very, very tormented people, who the parents think their children are evil. They're scared to death to go to sleep in their own house. I have a client right now, and she doesn't know what to do with her daughter. Does not know what to do. Been here, been there. It's an interracial marriage. The girl is 14 now, and she's lived a life of nothing but racial slurs. And things. I said, well, did you commit the racial indiscretion? No. Did somebody else commit a racial act that wasn't an indiscretion in their mind? I don't know. She says, I'm only 14. I says, then why did you choose to become involved in what we call demonic possession? She felt all along that she was a demon. All right. It tells about how Jesus washed the 7 demons out of the person in the river. Demons are what they say they are. They're lust. They're gluttony. They're different things. Everything, you know, that is nasty, mean, are demonic. And that can take you over and cause you to become a demon because you have accepted the demon philosophy or the demon way of life. And that's what demons are. Actually, they're man-made.
So when it talks about, in the Bible, it talks about hell is created for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
It was never intended for man.
It wasn't, no.
Well, you know, the weird thing was, is in reading the Bible, there's a story about Jesus comes on the man who's cutting himself on the tombs. And I believe the story is it's called like the demoniac of the Gadarenes or the Gergesenes or something. I can't remember the term now.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, and anyways, he's cutting himself on these rocks and he's screaming and carrying on like a wild man. Everybody around town is afraid of him. They don't even want to get near him, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes mention that it takes two or three guys just to bind him, just to hold him down. You know, he's wild. And Jesus, I guess, gets off the boat and runs into this man. And commands the demons to leave this man, you know. And
they do.
And then he sits there in his right mind, and I guess it you know, he's a normal guy, just sitting there, you know, fine, everything's cool. So everyone throughout the entire community was just totally flabbergasted by this. You know, here's this crazy guy, and now he's sitting here normal, you know. So, that's another one of those, I guess I want to say, another one of those stories that I believe is intended to be in there, because I believe there is healing for that kind of thing. And I can't help but believe that the dark side, if you want to call it, can just literally tempt us into a situation where we all but give up our soul. But we have to do it willingly.
Evil has to leave if it is not welcomed, mm-hmm. if it is not allowed. Evil has to leave. That is why Jesus knew that he would command evil to come out from those people. Be gone, he says. Disappear, whatever. But the idea was he knew, and he also said, you, Ted, could be like him. He said, I could be like him. And he was a seer himself. Jesus knew the past, the present, the future. Jesus had the power of healing. Today, they say if somebody, you go to a healer and they heal you, they must be demons. You see, again, they don't want to lose control. We have something called the AMA. We have doctors and we've got institutions for healing. We don't want God healing. Gee, it didn't cost anything.
Oh, yeah. And
you know what I'm saying?
That's another road we could go down.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
so much that we've covered, and it's such a joy to be able to talk about. We certainly don't want to confuse anybody.
No.
Well, no.
In
today's world, the thing I've witnessed firsthand, there are folks out there that have so embraced greed and so embraced themselves, I guess, is their self-preservation or whatever, that when it comes to the business side of things, there is a new standard of lying and cheating and justification. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I never really thought I'd live to see that kind of thing go on, you know, but it doesn't, it seems like they don't care what they do to other people. They don't care what the consequences are. Folks have invested money in corporations and things where they're, and these folks will squander that money away. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, and they're the ones running these companies, you know, and we wonder why our country is in trouble. And I guess I'm going to ask you this question. What do you see in the future for this? I mean, are those folks ever going to have their day of judgment? Is anything ever going to bring them to their knees? Because I honestly think these are some folks that have become possessed. Now, they're not throwing up green stuff, and their head isn't spinning clear around, you know, but I think they're a possessed sort of person, and boy, they've certainly inflicted an awful lot of harm on other people.
Well, that's exactly what's happening with this world right now. I only can hope and pray that the people have gone before us, that fostered this country, for instance, can find a way to influence the people of today and say, look, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're going into dictatorship. You're going accepting a person whose only agenda is power. And it's a bad situation all around. This country, well, I'm going to say it, is going to hell in a handbasket. And why? Is because guilt. Guilt has taken them over. They figured that they had abused certain races, religions, and so forth and so on. So they shrink back in guilt because the devil has won. He is making everybody feel guilt, guilt, guilt. I should have, I could have, I might have, but I didn't. I should have stood up for what? You did what you did. It's done. You cannot change one word or one action of what you've done from the day you were born till now. It's in there. It's like it's in your soul's computer. You cannot erase it. You can do better. You can improve on what you've done, but you cannot get rid of it. Everything happens once. They say, well, how do you figure that? Well, did you eat the same thing today? Did you see the same people today? Did you all have the same education and so forth and so on? Are you still studying? Everything changes. You are a river flowing constantly. Your emotions aren't the same as they were yesterday. What you read yesterday may not make sense to you today. Okay, so you cut yourself yesterday. How come you're not still bleeding today? You know what I'm talking about, Ted?
I think I'm following you, but...
You can't make it happen exactly the same way, ever.
Well, I
guess...
Nothing
happens more than once.
Okay, I guess what I'm asking you, though, as someone that has psychic insight, and that is the folks right now, and I've ran into these people personally, okay? It isn't something that I saw in a newspaper. I mean, this is the real deal. I'm running into people. I ran into people. I have actually suffered at their hand, who are corporate liars, who will lie in order to keep their job. They'll manufacture stories, and not just, I mean, I'm saying I've been a victim of it, but I've watched other folks around me be victim to it, where they lie and people wind up getting hurt. And I've never seen this before. In other words, I mean, I know there's always been treachery and there's always been problems, and going back to the beginning of time, you know, you have the story of Cain and Abel. There's always been treachery and there's always been problems. But I've
also have that terrible story about Judas. And do you know that Jesus the Christ could not have had any special significance in this world unless Judas Iscariot was there to do what he did? So you see, it gave us a Jesus to believe in when that happened. Lies are told, and sometimes if you look behind the lies, it was the very lie that brought you into a new reality of yourself or your ability or whatever. I know that sounds too forgiving at times for a lot of people, but I know what I'm talking about. Some of the stuff that's been said and done and finger-pointing and everything, there's always good behind the evil somewhere.
That's comforting. That's comforting to know.
Yeah. In other words, whatever it was done to make you make a choice or take a different path.
It's like you could do one of two things when it happens: get angry and upset and confused, or accept it for what it is, see it for what it is, learn from it, and go forward. Mm-hmm. And that may be too simplistic for a lot of people, but that doesn't make it wrong to have that attitude.
I guess what I'm saying, I was just curious, because it seems like when I talk to folks, I mean, the broadcasting business, look at the, mm-hmm. the horrible shape it's in. And they're trying to blame the economy on it, but it's really not the fault of the economy. The radio had this problem way before the economy. And
right.
and the, you know, programming has gone to hell in a handbag. We've got educated fools that are consultants that claim they know and have insight into programming. And the ratings have dropped. You don't hear people like Coca-Cola and Pepsi on radio anymore. And I'm talking about domestic radio inside of major markets and cities and towns. And, you know, companies right. like Cumulus and Clear Channel and all this having all these problems, you know. But I've been on the inside of a few situations, and I've watched I want to say, a large crowd of people hurt by a couple of people that are totally 100% self-preservationists without any morals at all. And I've right. just wondered, you know, I know, I mean, I've read the story of Enron, and I cringe, you know, and you know, like when the Chicago Tribune what is it, what's the radio station in Chicago?
Well, there's WMAQ, there's WLS.
WGN.
WGN.
Okay,
WIND is the latest big one.
WGN and the Chicago Tribune, which are tied together, made the announcement that they were, what, $60 billion in debt or something like that? And it's like, what is this all about? I mean, what were they thinking when they were at $2 million in debt? You know, I mean, it just keeps on and on. Obviously, there's treachery of high order going on there that has, there's never been a business in the history of the U.S. If you go back, you know, 50 years, it was $60 billion in debt. No one would allow something like that. So we're obviously, when you say that the country's going to hell in a handbasket, I understand that totally. I guess my question to you is there going to be a turnaround to this? I mean, is somebody going to wake up?
There will be when people stop being so damn greedy. You know, that's why radio fell apart. Their ads, you know, and even TV is going to fall apart on their ads. They're not getting the million-dollar ads, you know, for the baseball and stuff anymore, the way they used to. The greed. Greed robs the one who's greedy. Because when it goes away, when you've gotten everything you can out of people, there's nothing left.
The object of a radio program is to gather a bunch of folks together, just like on a street corner, you know, or if you can imagine people gathered around a campfire, you know, but they're all there. And now all of a sudden you introduce a new idea to them, something that they don't know anything about, you know, and that could be a product, it could be a book, it could be like your website, you know, and the whole purpose of this thing is to introduce people to things that they don't normally know about and to provide them information. You know, so now we have stations running 9-10 commercials in a row, and they make all these super claims. Oh, you can save up to 50%. You can save up to this, all for a limited time only. You know, and you hear this stuff, and it just all goes through your head, you know, and you realize it's all BS, and you don't pay any attention to it, you know. So anyways, but that's a different story. You say that it's going to turn around. That was what I was
saying. It's going to turn around. But it's going to take a little effort on the part of people to say enough is enough. Look, I was born in America. I am an American. I am not going to go into socialized health care. I am not going to go into bankruptcy. I am not, and take control of their own life. There's no such thing as a successful mommy and daddy government. No such thing. I've been getting input from Michael Jackson, we'll talk about that another time, where he was saying, ABB, anything but black. That's why he bleached his skin. That's why he changed his nose. He actually told me it was his nose that gave his ethnicity away. So he changed his nose, you know? So you see, to say somebody did not or cannot get opportunity is not true. If you're really good and believe in what you do, it doesn't matter your color, your creed, your ethnicity, beliefs. None of that stuff means a darn thing. The thing that means something to you are your choices.
I've got some questions for some folks here. I want to give your address out again, and that is Jackie. Let's see here. Well, wait a minute. That's your email address. I don't want to give your email address out, unless you want me to.
I'll tell you what. The site has everything in it. The website is thedailypsychic.com.
Okay, dailypsychic.com is the address that I was wanting to give out there, and that is and that's also the name of the book that'll be coming out, or re-released, I should say. And it's called The Daily Psychic, and the website is thedailypsychic.com. Now, we're going to take questions, and we're going to have Jackie Marie back along with Alan, and we're going to, whatever you write in, we're going to ask those questions. Be sure to send in your birth date, which is your month and day. And, of course, she just did a whole thing on me, and mine is 727, so, and... which is coming up, incidentally, so if you want to send me something. No. but anyhow.
Donations accepted. Right?
anyhow, we just want to make sure that you know about the website, thedailypsychic.com, and send your questions on in to our website, which is radiodisclosure.com. There's a spot up there where you can click on that, and you can send an email. It's an email form is what it is.
And they can also get My Secret Self. It applies to anybody who's alive or dead. Napoleon had a birthday, and you can read all about him. You can read about Obama. You can read about yourself. Michael Jackson, everybody is in that book, and it's called My Secret Self, if you want to just get your own. If you want to get the whole book, it's called Numa Astrology. Numa meaning numerology, astrology, your secret self revealed. Then you get the whole book, you get the whole family, you get everybody.
Okay, I've got some questions here. Now, these are obviously...
Yes, sir.
Pretty general questions, and they're from, these are from email, so this gives you a minimum amount of contact with a person, and I think that's a handicap myself, but you may not think it's a handicap, but I think it is. I think it's better when you hear a person's voice, and you can kind of pick up on some things. But got a note here, and this is a sincere question. A fellow by the name of Edward, who is in Chicago, who's not too far away from you, is wanting to know why everybody hates him. Oh, and I shouldn't.
Why everybody hates
him. And I shouldn't be laughing at that because it's probably a serious question. But go ahead.
Does he have a month and day of birth in there?
No, because we didn't know about that.
Okay. All right, then I'll do this on a purely psychic level, which will prove that astrology. Because I don't have a birth.
In other words, astrology doesn't predict.
Today. All right. Now, here's the thing. The reason you think people don't like you is because you're not comfortable enough with them to open up to them, all right? And I do feel that it started when you were a little guy, and you just felt, shoved aside, pushed aside, and you couldn't really say what you meant or mean what you said. So I think the problem is not people don't like you. It's because you don't really like people involved in your life.
That's very interesting. So with this person, you think it started early on?
Okay. Yes, I do.
All right. Now, let me see here. We've got another one here, and this is, let's see here. Okay, this is from Ann, and it is the job change I'm looking at a good thing that will happen? And once again, no birth date or anything, because we didn't know.
Where is she? You know where she's from?
Tennessee, I believe.
Okay.
I'm going to tell it to you the way it is here. I believe that a job that you want will be offered, but that you may decide you don't want it in the final analysis. There's something that has not been explained to you enough that you should be making this decision about it when the time comes. So all I can tell you is... hang in there. There's something coming your way even better than what you think you want.
Okay, now we have a fellow by the name of Dan. I can tell you a little bit more about Dan. I can't give you Dan's birthday, but Dan was a host, on a pretty good size facility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too specific over the air, okay? There was a bunch of people that were let go. He had a prominent position, and there's quite a move to bring him back. People signing petitions and all kinds of stuff, and it kind of hangs in the air as to whether or not this company is going to bring him back on. And so he was simply asking, are they going to bring him back?
Well, I think they may consider bringing him back. Here we go again. This is something he has to decide on his own, because I think another wonderful opportunity is coming his way, where it might prevent him, from if they take him back, from getting into something even better. You've heard of good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. That's where he's at. Do you know him personally?
Yes, I do. I know this fellow personally.
Okay, because I feel that there's a link between you and him. I could be wrong.
Okay.
They tell me, I want you to understand something. they tell me that I'm about 93% correct. So that leaves 7% I could be all wet. I am not God, don't want to be God. I would never want that responsibility. But I do know that when I say things at the time, like Mary Lou Henner, the movie actress, said one time in one of my promos she did for me, she said, well, what Jackie says at the time may seem obtuse, but it comes true. And I think that this guy should just really be open to something that's coming that he hasn't experienced yet. This other thing, if they take him back, they may lock him up in a contract or something of that nature that wouldn't be good for him in the long run.
Now, that's very interesting. I can see that's a possibility in his particular line of work where he works or has worked.
Is he kind of a comedian, too? You know, is he funny at times?
He's funny at times, but he's not a comedian. I mean he's not.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't do
but
anything
he is
for.
Funny at times.
Yes, he's
good. I think
he
should go to work on his humor. You know, be a little more humorous. I'm saying it right.
But do you think?
I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable with what I say. Okay.
I was going to say, do you think that there's something in the.
In the hopper for him.
Okay, and I can say that he's a very talented person, very very personable individual, you know. And like I said, the line of work he's in, I think they were absolutely crazy for letting this guy go. And there have been, I think, there was a petition that went around. I think they got like 10,000 signatures on this thing.
Mm.
But you know, in the broadcast,
well, you know, that's very very good for his resume. You know, it's very, very good that he had all these signatures and that people liked him that much.
But you see,
that's going to help him in the long run. It's going to help him.
People would say, well, how can something like that happen? Well, in today's radio business, it's a staple. You know, I mean, there is no logic or reason to these things today.
Well, they used to call radio the great whore.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
They used to, honestly, they used to do that. And, I do know that you're not a kid, and I know that you've got a lot going for you yourself. And you've got something that you have to do, too. And you're probably going to say, not me. But there's a good chance that you should do some writing, either a book or plays, a screenplay, or something. You've got the ability. All you got to do is use it.
Well, speaking of screenplays, I have an email here from Bobby. And Bobby is a girl, and she says, well, I find success in love and in my screenplay writing.
All right. My first thought is to tell you that there is somebody, Jay, like Jack, John, Joe. It is male. Now, J and G can be phonetically the same. Whether it's J or G, somebody's going to help you to do this. Yes, the screenplay thing is in the works, but it's in the works already. So I wouldn't worry about nothing if I were you, girl. Go for it.
All right.
But whatever you do, don't ask someone else to explain it to you now. It'll come to you. I don't know whether it's going to be in a dream. It is going to be a dream, maybe. But it's like somebody's going to take you by the hand and say, here, this is your future. Take control of it.
We're just about out of time. But I want to once again mention the dailypsychic.com is the website. And there's all kinds of things up there. Once again, Jackie Marie is our guest along with Alan Richard. And both of these two are psychics, although Alan doesn't talk as much as Jackie does. I don't.
Well, he does that by choice sometimes.
Well, I'm just teasing a bit here. I have to.
Yeah.
I've got to make light of the situation here somehow. Have some fun.
There you go.
It has been very enjoyable being with you here, Ted. My compliments to you and how you handle things. I mentioned earlier,
never expect people to agree with me. 100%.
Well, it's no fun if everybody agrees. You know, you got to have a little heat going on here. I mean, you got to have some of that. You know, Now, we're going to do something a little different, okay? A little different. This is something, I bet you've never had a talk show host do this to you before. And but here's the deal. We got people writing in. They're going to be writing in questions. And the week after next, which will be, let's check the calendar, because I don't have my calendar open, and I'm, I can't really think psychically. I can barely think in real time.
The
29th of July, we'll air a radio show. Get your questions in for Jackie Marie and also Alan Richard. Let's get these questions in. Send them to, go to the website, which is radiodisclosure.com, and click on the button and send them. Now, Jackie, we've got people listening right now that have questions about things, okay? Some people are troubled, and they may have a poltergeist in their house. So they may just want to know whether or not, their aunt that just passed is still mad at them. Or they may be thinking of a career move, or they're wondering if their love life's going to work out. I mean, you've been there. You've answered all those kinds of questions, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I'm going to ask you now, as a psychic, to concentrate and just out of the ether, I want you to pick up some two or three people that are probably going to be listening to this radio show and answer their question before they ask it. That's a different
Never
one.
I've been asked to do that before.
I know. But see, that's as easy as 1, 2, 3. I mean, it's not.
No, it isn't, because it's not pre-programmed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you've got somebody. You've got somebody listening right now. You've got somebody out there listening right now that has a specific question in their head. But you know what? They may not have time to write, because they may be listening to the radio show. And the radio show will air, and they will never have heard this show. So I'm just saying, I think that, and then what we'll have happen is we'll have folks write in and say, you know what? She hit it right on the money. How did you know I was listening? This is a different concept here. I mean, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But I mean, if something pops in your mind, if you can think of somebody out there that's listening right now that has a question, and they may not have the opportunity to get the question in on time. And, of course, we'll have you back again after the 29th, and then we can, if that person wants to write in, they can. I mean, this is just a wild idea.
Well, it's kind of like the John Edwards show, where he contacts the dead, and he says, well, somebody in this audience is named Joe. And 9 times out of 10, there's somebody in the audience named Joe. I don't want to mislead the people, okay? And what I'm going to say here is that I don't get a name, because that to me is kind of like it wouldn't be true. And I work a lot on the fact of truthfulness. I do feel that somebody that is interested in the paranormal, who wants to develop their own skill, is listening. Somebody who may have been influenced by their own religious upbringing not to develop something that they were born with, you know, and may say, well, I think I'm going to contact this person and find out what I should do about it. But it's more like a person who has strong ability, very, very strong ability, and just wants to be sure they wouldn't be doing something wrong by developing it or using it.
Or possibly they've been suppressing it. You know, they know they've got
That's
it.
That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they suppressed it all along because they thought it was the wrong thing to do.
It goes back to the discussion we had about the word conditioning.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're taught to be prejudiced. We're taught to be, let's say, of a certain faith or political party, or, you know, you've got 4 generations of people in the military, therefore, well, of course you're going in the military. I don't speak of any disrespect or with any disrespect about any of these fields, but we are taught by those around us, particularly family, and the conditioning to be, you know, against something in the natural realm of being psychic is something people don't understand, so they teach you not to, you know, pay attention to it.
You'd be surprised how often I'm asked about programs like John Edwards and so forth. I say, well, it's interesting watching. You might learn something from it, but I know what's behind it, and I'm not going to expose anything at this point. I wouldn't do that. I am not out to destroy somebody's career or opportunities, but I do know that somebody is suppressing so much. Now, this person has not only seen ghosts, but I do believe this person believes they may have been abducted.
Well, there you go. You know, and you know what? I think you're right on the money. I don't know who we're talking to, but I think that person knows who they're talking to, and I think we'll probably
hear
from them.
I think they do, too, yeah.
I think we'll hear from them. And we may not, but you know, they may go to your website. They may download some stuff, or they may get a...
Get help from me. If they're trying to develop this thing, I am not afraid to help somebody to do what they know needs to be done, you know? A lot of times people suppress things that could really help themselves and others, like in their family. Especially, you know, I've had people who've had these, we'll call them powers if you want to, gifts if you want to, whatever it is. But they suppress these things, and it eventually hurt their own children because they didn't do with it what they could have done. Like this one woman, she had such a strong feeling that her daughter had leukemia. It was really strong. Her husband said, you're not taking my child for tests. No hospitals, no doctors, the child died of leukemia.
But
you never know, but this one I know has suppressed it to their detriment, really.
That's amazing. Well, I thank you so much. Alan, thank you for being with us today. Jackie, and we're I'm very anxious for you to come back on the 29th, and you know what we've got here is the dailypsychic.com is the website. So you want to go up there and take a look at the website, and boy, we've talked about everything today. We've covered the subject. You know. Next time around, we'll get into some more interesting things, and we'll go off in a different direction next time around. We'll
dreams are something else that Jackie is able to have fun with and provide extremely valuable information with. If anybody's got a dream, send it in.
Yeah, especially.
Oh, yeah. The dreams always, there's no such thing as a stupid dream, by the way.
Especially if they're a reoccurring dream. A lot of folks have reoccurring.
Yeah, reoccurring dreams means one thing, Ted. You didn't get the message the first time, so you're going to have to keep dreaming it until you do.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and joining our radio audience, and we're looking forward for you to come back on the 29th. Thank you.
Sounds good.
As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna, but in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month. And several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. That's going to do it for Radio Disclosure this week. A special thank you to our guests, Emmy Award-winning science reporter Linda Moulton Howe with her Earth Files report, and also Jackie Marie and Alan Richard. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, for Radio Disclosure.